Well, after that heavy demonstration of what we have to be fearful of, I've got something really light. I'm going to talk to you about electricity. I think as you've listened to people talk, it's very clear that one of the central issues in this conversation about Northern Pass is buried lines. When I was doing my doctoral dissertation, I thought my idea was lay out your case, develop your evidence, do analysis, and then wham with your exciting finding at the end. My advisor had a different idea. He said to me, "You're not writing a detective novel. Tell them at the beginning what your punchline is and then defend it." So here's the punchline. Burying high-voltage direct current transmission lines in New England is a practical solution to concerns about overhead lines. I will be testing you later in my talk. Burying high-voltage lines in New England is a practical solution. Keep that in mind. In your handout, if you can go to page 34, that's where my materials are, and I'm going to be referring to some of the drawings, so get ready. So first, just the basics. There are two kinds of electric current. There's AC, alternating current, and there's DC, direct current. The current that comes out of your socket in the wall that powers homes and businesses is alternating current. However, the current that powers anything that's related to a battery is direct current. That's why on all your chargers and things for your laptops and phones, you've got a little box, and that's converting the AC into DC. That's just the basic background. And in high voltage transmission reduces the loss when you're sending power over a long line. The high voltage transmission method was developed in the early 1950s by a European company, and its purpose was to be able to retrieve more power at the end than they had been with lower voltages. So here's how it operates, and I will use Northern Pass as an example for this. Those dams in Quebec are generating alternating current. It is converted to direct current by a converter station that will be in Quebec. And then it's sent as direct current, high voltage direct current, HVDC, down to Franklin, where it's converted back to alternating current, and then sent to Deerfield, where it enters the grid and can be used, you know, for the purposes that we use electricity. And when people refer to the claims that both sides make about how much it costs, we get into the different kinds of technologies available for moving high voltage power. In the 1950s, what I call the traditional technology, the traditional technology was a simple cable, and it's designed to be strung in the air so that it doesn't really need a lot of insulation, and the heat that it generates just goes into the air. Burying this kind of cable is technically very complex. It has to be cooled. It has to be in a conduit with oil cooling properties. It's expensive. So when you hear people say it's cost $15 million or $20 million a mile, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the old-fashioned traditional cable that is expensive to bury. What we're talking about, when I say it's a practical solution, I'm talking about a newer technology that was invented actually by the same company in the 1990s. And this is called HVDC Light. And through the wonder of modern plastics, they're able to create a cable. It's about this big. It's about 5 or 6 inches in diameter. And it has a very thick polymer insulation layer within the cable. So it doesn't generate the same kind of heat. It can be buried without the cooling. It's called direct burial. It can be laid right in the ground with a little bit of insulating soil around it. And it's much, much cheaper to bury. So that's the fundamental difference between or among all these cost estimates that you hear. Now, if you look on page 39, you'll see a diagram, a side view of a direct burial trench. Okay, these can be buried, generally, they're about 4 feet deep, they're around 6 feet wide, and if you look, you'll see that they backfill with some insulating soils. That dark line above the two bullseye-looking things, those are the cables. That's a little hard plate that they place above the cables to prevent someone accidentally digging into the cables. And then above that, there's some more backfill, and there's like a warning tape that's closer to the surface. So if someone starts digging, they might hit that tape. That's what it looks like. There's a much bigger picture of it over here if you want to come up later and have a better look. Incidentally, that picture is a project that Hydro-Québec is doing in Quebec. Hydro-Québec is a leader in underground technology, a global leader. And that one is to connect to another line that's going through Vermont. So just a little piece of technical. Another reason that you may have heard from Northern Pass as to why they can't put these lines underground is that it doesn't carry the right load. Northern Pass was originally proposed at 1,200 megawatts, and at that time, this HVDC light type of cable could only carry 1,000 megawatts. Now it can carry 2,600 megawatts, so that argument's dead. Now, in terms of how these things work, if you look on page 37, I'm going to have to go back, you'll see a list. These are buried, this is a list of buried lines, either in service or in the development stage, that are within 500 miles of Concord. There's a lot of detail there. If you want to follow up with that when you go home, you can find out a lot about buried lines from these. But the gist of it is, the takeaway is, this is happening all around us. All around us here in New England, all around us around the world. So it's eminently practical. Now, how the cost and the installation, you hear the cost a lot. You hear that the installation is difficult. There's another thing you need to know. When Northern Pass talks about burying the lines, quite often they're referring to burying it on the right-of-way that they already have. Like the one that goes through the over Kinsman Ridge, or you know, through backwoods mountainous areas. They want to use their own right-of-way that they already control. When we talk about burying lines, and these other projects that you see here talk about burying lines, we're talking about burying them along the side of the road, underwater, in places where it's pretty easy to install them. And it's very cost effective. So that's another fundamental difference that you need to be aware of when you hear varying claims. I'd like to highlight a couple projects that you may have heard about. One is the Champlain-Hudson Power Express. That runs from Quebec under Lake Champlain and then underground. I think it has more than 120 miles underground into Queens. It goes underground through New York City, if you can imagine that, into Queens. And that one has, I think, all its permits. It's close to being able to get started. The other one that we just heard about recently is New England Clean Power Link. That one goes down the Vermont side of Lake Champlain and then 50 miles underground to Ludlow, Vermont, where it will enter the grid. And that one, after 1 year and a few days, just had its draft EIS issued, unlike Northern Pass, which after 4 years is still waiting. They had 8 people who made a comment, I think? 12? 12 people. And if you haven't ordered one, you still can. So, what to look for when the EIS comes. The reason I wanted to talk to you, I wanted you to know the basics of the various claims that you're going to hear. What to look for in the EIS. Look for analysis of alternatives that involve the modern technology, the HVD light type technology, the direct burial technology. That should be included in the EIS. If it's not, it's a flaw, and it needs to be addressed. Look for alternatives that involve underground installation along transportation rights-of-way like roads and rail beds. If that's not in there, that's a flaw. Another interesting thing to look for would be alternatives that involve a lower megawatt load, like, say, 1,000 megawatts. Northern Pass has filed a Plan B. We're not exactly sure what it is, but it's 1,000 megawatts and change, which indicates they may be considering a different kind of technology. So look for that. Look and see if that comes up in the alternatives that are addressed. Look for direct burial. And most of all, and I don't know if we can actually get this until the discovery stage, but look for accurate cost estimates. Now that you know a little bit about what that might be, see if they actually do that. And if they don't, that's a problem. And that's kind of it on electricity. If you want to go into any more depth, I'd be happy to answer questions later. And I just thought I'd mention Maggie, what Maggie was going to say, since she's not here. Maggie Steer is executive director of the New Hampshire Preservation Alliance. And they and the Sugar Hill Historical Museum are hosting a meeting tomorrow night. It's at 6 o'clock in the Sugar Hill Town Building. And they are interested in helping the public understand how to advocate for protection of historic and cultural resources. In addition to New Hampshire Historic Preservation, we will also have a representative from the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And people are going to be there from New Hampshire Division of Historical Resources, which is the receiving agency for that.